behind the sacred desk one more time, this side of eternity, and just name the name of Jesus. He's worthy of every word I could ever say, every hand that I could ever raise. Oh, that I would have 1,000 hands, I would raise them all to Him. And 1,000 tongues, I would want them all to speak of the grace of God and the goodness of God. Many people, I believe, are in trials and in tests. And in the time that we live in right now, the Christian is going to face some more persecution. You can mark that down. Knock that old lesbian out in Houston. I'm here to tell you, she wants my sermon. She ought to come on in here. I can't send nothing but my Bible because that's my sermon tonight. But I'm here to tell you, they're going to try to take our Bibles. And they're going to try to quiet us down. But I'm here to say by the grace of God, I'm not shutting up. I'm not letting up. I'm glad there's still some old-fashioned camp meetings around where the church, if it takes going to the woods to meet again, I'm quite all right with giving up the padded pew and giving up the brick church and the air condition and getting out the woods if it means getting closer to God. I want to get close to Him. I want to know Him. He said, if you'll draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. And that's what I want to do before I die. I want to show my kids that it is possible. I said it is possible to have revival. I said it's possible. See, that's the problem right now. We got a bunch of preachers don't believe in revival anymore. Revival's not having a preacher. Revival's not having a weekly meeting. Revival is when the child of God gets a change in their own heart. If we're going to have revival, I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. It's got to start with me. But I still believe that we, as Christians, born again, blood-bought, child of God, I believe we can have revival in every town where our churches are located. I have that confidence in my Savior. Not confidence in myself. Confidence in my Savior. But lately, I'm a pastor, assistant pastor. My dad started our church, so I've been with him all my life. But I've seen the troubles pastors have. And I thought I never would want to be a pastor. God put me exactly where I didn't want to be. And now problems have arisen in my life. And lately, I felt, can I just be honest, I think I'm amongst friends. I felt like God's nowhere around. I'm just going to be honest with you. I can't find Him. And that's what I want to preach to you tonight here in verse chapter 23. The Bible says, then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. I've been there. Hey, let me tell you, just because you're a preacher or a pastor doesn't mean you don't get bitter. You ever deal with Baptist folk, you'll get bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. And this is my text verse. Oh, that I knew where I might find Him. Oh, that I knew where I might find Him. And I want to preach on this real quickly. What do you do when you can't find God? What do you do now? Hey, we're talking to the Christian tonight. This is camp meeting. Now, if you're lost here, I want you to get saved, but I'm mainly preaching to the saints of God. And let me tell you, if you're a sinner, you can't find God. God finds you. He comes to where you are, and He lifts you up out of the miry clay. And then you accept Him in your heart. I ain't talking about Calvinism either, so don't get on that case. I'm talking about I wasn't looking for God, but He came looking for me. But hey, I'm talking to the Christian tonight, and I'm just telling you, in my Christian life, you're trying to serve Him. You're trying to be faithful. You want to see souls saved. And it seems like the devil comes in like a flood. And over here, the devil hits you again. And over here, the devil hits you again. And then all of a sudden you say, God, where are you? God, help me. Where are you? And you may not feel like that, but if you don't, please come and tell me your secret. Because I'm here to tell you, I've been down and I've been out and I haven't wanted to walk in the pulpit. I haven't wanted to go witness anymore. I haven't wanted to go knock on the door. Why? Because I'm on myself. I'm on a pity party. I'm on Sammy Kay's list. And I want to know why I got to go through a problem. So what do you do when you can't find God? What do you do? Look at what Job did. He said, I would order my cause before Him if I could find Him and fill my mouth with arguments. Listen to what Job's saying to the, by the Lord, if I could find it. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. At least I believe Job said, I'm going to argue with him, but you know what? When the Lord spoke, I'd still understand him. Because I've been there before. And I've talked with him before, and everything God's ever told me, I've understood pretty well. But then he says, will he plead against me with his great power? No. But he would put strength in me. Isn't it amazing that he starts out complaining? But hey, I don't care even when you're complaining to God, the grace of God still shows up. You know what the Bible says? God is love, and the world loves to use that so they can excuse their sin. But that's not for them. But when you talk about God is love, it's talking about me. Because even in when I fail Him, and even when I falter, and even when I complain, He still loves me. He still loves you. And so He says, my complaint, but yet He would speak to me and put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with Him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. You see, Job's desire, it was to get to God. Even when he couldn't find Him, he said, oh, that I might find Him. You know, you can't find nothing unless you're looking for it. At least Job was looking for Him. He had a desire that, yeah, I got a problem. And yeah, I don't even know where God is, but God, I want to find You. So what do you do when you can't find God? And he had that desire. It was to get to God. But he had a distress too. He couldn't find Him. That's horrible. I hate Easter egg hunts. And I'm not picking on you if you do. I'm just saying, because you know what? I can't ever find them. When I was a kid, I couldn't ever find it. And always they had that stupid golden egg with the $5 bill in it. And you know, my grandma would hide that thing, and all the other kids got it, and I'd go searching, and I'd get a stinking piece of peppermint or a butterscotch. I hated searching for something and could not find it. And don't you just hate searching and searching and you can't find Him? But there is a secret to finding God when you can't find Him. But he did have a distress. He couldn't find Him. But look at his determination. He said, behold, I go forward, but He's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive Him. On the left hand where He doth work, but I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on the right hand, that I cannot see Him. But, you realize every time you see the word but in the Bible, everything beforehand is erased? Huh? Scarcely would a man die for a righteous man. The Bible talks about it's hard to find somebody to die for a perfect man. And it's even harder, I'm paraphrasing, and it's even harder to find one for a good man. But for a sinner, you won't find nobody. But God. Woo! Hallelujah! But God, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So every time you see that but, you better pay attention because everything before is totally gone. And so you see all this, I can't find Him. I've looked on the left, the right, the front, the back, above and below. I can't find Him, but He knoweth the way that I take. He knoweth the way that I take. And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. We're going to look at three things real quickly and I'm done. Number one, if you want to find God, you've got to turn back to His Word. Verse 12 says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. Amen. You've got to remember what the Word said, and the Word has promised us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. If you can't find God, you know what you ought to do? Quit calling mama on the phone. Quit calling daddy on the phone or some woman in your church or some man in your church. Hey, men gossip more than women now, I'm going to get on them for a little bit. But I'm saying you get off that phone. Quit going to see that psychologist or that psychiatrist. Quit trying to go to AA and AAA and quadruple A. And won't you go get a hold of Jesus? Go let Jesus know. Get back to His Word. You know how you communicate with Christ? You get to His Word. I thank God for that old King James Bible. I thank God for that it's still relevant and still works. You can go back to His Word. Hebrews 12:6-8 says, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what sin is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. I'm here to tell you, when you're going through the trial, go back to His Word, and He tells you when you're being chastened, when you're in trial, when you're in trouble, it's just a proof you're my child. I'm a child of the King. Hey, my daddy used to beat me silly. I mean, I was raised in a preacher's home. Alright, you didn't interrupt when the preacher was talking to another preacher or an adult. We were taught manners. And I ain't cutting on him either. I thank God for my precious daddy. But I remember my daddy had a man went to prison in our church, and my dad led him to the Lord in the prison, and he engraved this big old bell in prison called Sam. I mean, and engraved Sam on the back for my daddy. My daddy wore that big belt all the time and cowboy boots. And if he couldn't get the belt off, the cowboy boot got you. Alright? And my daddy didn't beat us either. Some of y'all look at me like, huh? That's what's wrong with the society now. But nevertheless, I have been whipped with that Sam so many times that I said, if I ever meet the man in prison, I'm going to kill him and go to prison. Because he made that stinking bell. But you know what? I remember every time. Not one time did my daddy not do this. And usually when I got a spanking, let me just say it was my fault and I did deserve it. Many people say, I don't deserve what I get. I deserved every bit of it and much more. But yet, Dad would always grab me and say, son, I love you. That hurt me more than you. But I just want to let you know and teach you that you can't do that. Hey, and I think about my Heavenly Father. And I start going through and I'm going back to His Word to try to find Him. And He tells me, you're my son. No matter what you're going through, you're my son. And I love you, and it hurts me. But I got to tell you, this is what I'm working on you. I'm trying to teach you something so that you'll come forth as gold. You'll come forth and you'll look a lot better. You'll act a lot better. If we'd get back to the Word, we'd act a lot better. We'd act a lot better. We'd treat people a lot better. That's what it takes, is getting back to the Word to find Him. But number two, what did Job do? Not only did he turn back to the Word, he turned back to worship. Look back to Job 2:8. Look back to Job 2:8 if you can. Job 2:8, starting verse 6, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet unto his crown. And the verse 8, and he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. You know what ashes are? It's remnants of where fire once was. I like the fire. I like a hot, red hot, fired up church service. We had one last night, shouted her down. Preacher went plumb wild. Watching a 75-year-old man walk across doing woo, and people running. One old man on a walker can't walk no more, so he just started hopping on the walker. I like that kind of thing. That don't scare me a bit. But sometimes in your life you can't find God, and you don't feel like He's a mile away in worship. But you know what you ought to do? You ought to go down and just sit down in them ashes. You sit down in them places where you used to go. You know what? You used to go to the altar all the time and you had Holy Ghost on your life. You don't go to the altar no more. You know what you ought to do? You ought to go to the altar and throw some of them ashes on you. You ought to throw some of that worship from way back. You know, I had a grandma who used to walk out with that hanky, and she's dead and in heaven now. You know, but I still remember. But you know what? Maybe you ought to get a hanky out of your pocket and you start walking now. Start praising Him a little bit. You know what you ought to do? Go sit down in some worship and worship Him anyway. Sit down in ashes. You once had the glory. You can have it again. But until you find Him, go get where it used to be. That guy that lost his axe head, the guy that lost his power for work, he didn't go down the river. That axe head went down right there, and he went and got the axe head back where he left it. If you're going to get your power back, you got to go back where you left it. Most people leave churches when they're mad and disgruntled and everything, and then you look at them later and they're not even in church. They're not serving God. You know why? They tried to get their axe head down the river somewhere. You're not going to find God's power down that way. You need to go back where you lost it. You got to go back to worship. It's all right to worship. Somebody needs to worship. Somebody needs to realize that Jesus Christ died for you, saved you eternally. There's nothing in or out of hell that can send you to hell. And that ought to make us all stand and say, glory be to God, praise His holy name. He's worthy. What do you do when you can't find God? You turn back to His Word. You turn back to His worship. But then you turn back to His wisdom. If you go back over to Job 38, and this whole discussion with Job, he's been trying to find God the whole time. He's been trying to find out why he's got so many problems and he's lost everything he's had. But if you go over to Job 38, then the Lord answered. See, you keep seeking. You keep wanting to find Him, and behold, before you know it, He won't answer you out of a big audible voice, but He said, Job out of the whirlwind, and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? God said, who is this stupid idiot that's speaking, saying, I can't find God? Do you not realize I am omnipresent? Amen. I am the one that created. He said, where were you, Job, when I created this? Where were you? Job shuts up too. You know what? Sometimes we get so on our pity party. But then you better turn back to God's wisdom and realize He can't go anywhere. When He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that is not like God is making a choice not to leave you or a choice not to forsake you. He is omnipresent, which means He's everywhere at all times. That means if He's right here, He's right here.
Come on.
He's still over there with you too.
Yeah.
He's still over there with you.
Yeah.
Everybody points somewhere in this building different. Point. Just point somewhere different. Guess where you just pointed? In the center of God. You just point right slap dab in the center of God. And you know what that means? He's everywhere. When He says, I can't leave you, I can't forsake you, you know what that means? He's not saying that by choice. He's saying, it's impossible for me to leave you. It's impossible for me to forsake you because I'm always there. But all you got to do is you got to find me. You need to get back in the Word, boy. Hey, let me tell you, as a young preacher, I'm 42. I'm not real young age, but I am a young preacher. Haven't been preaching long or pastoring, that type of thing. But when you get, I mean, really, I got tore all to pieces. You know, best friend leave you in the church, stab you in the back. I don't know if y'all preachers ever had it, but I've had it. My dad, I'm thinking I'm going to get some help from my dad, Pastor Dad, and he's going to say, bless God, son, you're right. You know, he said, ha ha, welcome to pastors. Welcome to being a pastor. I'm like, what kind of help? I said, you're just like Job's friends. You're useless. You've been in it 40, almost 50 years you've been preaching, and you give me that?
Yeah, amen.
He said, yeah, maybe you ought to go and study that a little more.
Yeah.
And I did. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Because in the middle of the trouble, I went back to His Word.
Yeah.
When I got back to His Word, it made me start worshiping Him.
Yeah.
I got back to worship. And then when I started worshiping Him, I realized I got back to His wisdom.
Yeah.
And realized He's still in control.
Yeah.
He's still in charge of everything. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what kind of problem you got. You may feel like you can't find God. But don't worry, He hasn't gone anywhere. If anybody's moved, you have. And I don't care how far you move away, He's still there. You know why the prodigal came back? Because Jesus was in the hog pen with him. Have you ever thought of that? Everywhere you go, the Son, He's with you. He's with me. That just makes me want to lift my hand and say, thank you, God, for being my Savior. My friend.
Amen.
Thank you. Appreciate it.